86.
Were you drafted or did you enlist?
I was drafted in 1942. I was 21 years old.
What went through your head at that time when you learned that you were going to be drafted? Did you expect that you would be?
Yeah, I did. I should have probably enlisted. I would have got the pick of the choice, you know. But it was okay, yeah.
Tell me about your experience. Where were you stationed during the war?
Hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I saw the country. Fort Monmouth, New Jersey, Camp Callan, California, someplace in Tennessee, other places in between, I guess.
And where did you serve overseas?
Southwest Pacific and Pacific. Started out in New Guinea, Mindoro, Mindanao, then Leyte, and then finally Luzon.
What was your primary role while you were there?
Well, I was in the Signal Corps. I was attached to the 38th Infantry Division, and they didn't have any room for me, so I just pulled various duties until I was able to get into the Signal Depot, and I spent the rest of my time in the Signal Depot in Manila.
Explain for me what it means to be in the signal depot.
Well, you supply signal supplies to the United States and one thing or another, and also the warring powers.
Do you still talk to a lot of the soldiers that you served with?
There was no opportunity for me to get a friendship, you know, because I was a kind of a roving hotshot, you might say, you know.
At the time you went into the Pacific, were you married at that time?
No.
Do you remember how your mom react or your parents reacted to?
My dad was in the World War I and over in France. So I just followed in his footsteps, I guess.
Did you write home a lot?
Yeah.
Is there one memory or moment or event that you remember very distinctly that's maybe your more prominent memory of your service?
Well, I know one memory was we were in a convoy going from island to island. Yeah, I mentioned the islands that we were at, you know. Anyway, we were in a part of a convoy, and it's called the Coffin Corner because the ships in the convoy are like a square here by here, like a square, you see. So many ships up this way, so many ships down this way, and they're staggered. Well, anyway, here's this hotshot flyer, and they're supposed to identify with the leader of the convoy, you know, check in, shall we say. Well, he didn't, and he buzzed the convoy and didn't say what it was or anything, you know, he didn't identify himself. So we thought he was probably a Jap that was going to aim for our convoy, you know. So he said, everybody get your life jackets on and then come into the main part of the superstructure of the boat ship, you see. And so the guys on the deck, the sailors installed their steel helmets on, you know, like this, and they had pulled the machine gun like this, and it's loaded rate of fire. So I thought we were going to get hit, see. But nothing happened. Nothing happened. Yeah. And to find out, it was a Corsair low-wing monoplane, F4U, it was called. It was our own boys. They just buzzed the thing. They just darn near got shot. And we expect to get a boom any time, you know.
What did it feel like knowing that you're about ready to be hit any time?
Well, you just wonder if you're going to be hit real hard so you don't, no pain or what, you know. You just wonder what the next thing's going to be, see?
You had mentioned you'll never forget the sound of bullets flying by your head. Was that a constant? Was that most of the time while you were out there?
Like a machine gun, if you're under fire from a machine gun, you'll take a certain amount of time before the noise of the explosion on the machine gun will get to you. So first of all, you hear a whoosh, whoosh, it's like this, a snap between a snap and a whatever, and then you hear boom, 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 boom in the distance. You know what I mean? It splits the air close to you, you know. So then, like I say, you hear the report of the machine gun in the distance or whatever, the rifle, you know.
Were you scared a lot?
Well, you wonder, you know, is this how it's going to be when it ends. You know, if it's going to be pain, I'm going to be it all at once, or am I going to live through this for another day? You know, because it's a day by day, excuse me, day by day situation. You know, so that's one of the things you always wonder. And you're in a landing boat or landing barge. You know, you're going in to the shore. You wonder at the guy next to you, and he's looking at you. You wonder if you're both going to get wiped out or going to land all right and everything. See, it's you're just kind of a dull feeling. You know, it's hard to describe.
Did you feel like you were adequately prepared when you went
Never
into?
thought much about it. I figured I was probably.
Curious where you were, and do you remember when the atomic bomb was
Yeah,
used?
oh sure, yeah. I was in Manila at a Signal Corps warehouse, and it was in the evening over there, and the Filipinos over there were celebrating, really celebrating, firing off guns and machine guns and everything. And the first thing we thought was the Japs attacking us or something, see? But they were just happy that the war was over. Oh, there's little stories, you know, connected with it. I don't know if you want to hear anything about that or what.
Sure, please.
They had Filipino scouts over there. They were really vicious because they didn't like the Japanese because they raided their country. Well, anyway, here's this Filipino scout, and he had a rifle, and he had a strap on his rifle, kind of a thong on his rifle, and strung on this thong was what I thought looked like dried apricots. It's the only thing I could think of what he on. So I questioned him what it was. Oh, those are Japanese ears. So they cut the ears off the Japanese that they killed. Just kind of a memento.
How did you feel towards the Japanese? Did you hate them as much as they
No,
did?
not too much, no. But you go out and you shoot them. You never know if you hit them or not. Division regiments would go ahead and break up the main resistance. And there'd be little pockets of Japanese here and there, you know, scattered around, you know. And it would be up to the MP company and us and other companies, to engineer company, one thing or the other, to eradicate these little pockets of resistance. So you just go out and, of course, they're running in from bush to bush and from bush to bamboo tree, you know, and you fire, you know. And the only way if you could tell if you hit them or not is when you come up on them after the little firefight, and they're dead.
Going back to when the atomic bomb was used, what was your reaction? Were you happy? Were you excited?
Oh yeah, sure. Oh yeah. With that hallelujah, I'll be going home in about a month. Well, I went home in about a year.
Really?
Yeah, it takes that long to work out the situation, you know.
Do you remember what it felt like when you did come home?
Oh yeah, Sioux Falls was where I first came, and my mom and dad were waiting at the bus depot for me because I took a bus from Sioux City up to Sioux Falls. They were not too exuberant. It was just there, and the thing that happened, and that was it. You know.
Do you think that's how a lot of people felt? It's just
I
something we
think
all
they were
did.
very reserved. No, we didn't go hoop-de-doo or anything like that. No.
Did you have problems talking about your experience when you came back?
No, not really, because I wasn't really in the throes of the action, you see. I just have an action here, a little action there, and things like that, you see. But these guys that had a frontal attack or something, you know, and were fighting day after day, they're the boys that really need the honors.
Some call this the good war. What's your reaction to that
I
statement?
don't think any war is a good war. There are wars that are necessary, in my book, you know, but.
Do you think this was one of them? One that was necessary?
Well, was war necessary? Well, you got to stand up what is right, you know. If it takes a war, it takes a war.
When you came back home, what did you do then?
Oh, God. Didn't do much of anything for about 6 months. Then I don't know what I did. Back and forth between a gal I left behind, she waited for me and all that. And so between her family in Michigan and my family in South Dakota, we back and forth sometimes, you know.